All right, well, these division games are coming one right after another now. So, been very impressed watching Buffalo here all week. They're a tough, hard nosed football team. Tough team to play against. Do a lot of really good job of their execution. Make you work for everything, and it'll be tough up there. So we gotta have a good day today. Be ready to go on Sunday. Be ready to play 60 minutes. This team plays; they play hard all the way through.
Billy, the other day, you spoke about how this was a smart Bills team, from what you've seen when you studied.
Mm-hmm.
How does that show up? Is it just, you know, I know the turnover differential is pretty good for them. Is it those sorts of things, or what have you seen that makes you feel that way?
I mean, they do a lot of things really well. Last week's game against Kansas City. Kansas City's got a good punt returner. They got no yards on punt returns. Tate's got 60. I mean, that's a big swing right there. So, you know, little things like that, whether it's plays in the kicking game, whether it's situationally, they're very aware situationally of what they need to do in that situation, regardless of what the play is. You see the players executing the situation, whether it's end of the half, time, score, yards they need to defend against, getting into field goal range, keeping a team out of field goal range. You know, just a lot of little things that they're not little, but they're a good situational team. They're a smart team. And they make you earn. Make you earn everything. Had a couple penalties in the Kansas City game, but I mean, they were tough calls. It wasn't, you look at the player and say, you know, why did he do that? I mean, it's, I got called for a penalty, but it's, you know, it was a tough call. It's probably doing the same thing we would tell our player to do. So, you know, they do a good job. Well coached.
The guy like Kyle Van Noy, who's so versatile within your defense. Is it ever difficult finding what the very best thing he does is, or is it just a perk of having a guy who can pretty much do anything there, middle linebacker?
Well, I think we've had enough experience with Kyle to know the things he does well. We try to put him in those situations. He does a lot of things well. It's not just one thing, but try to put him in those situations the best we can.
Bill,
we don't know what the play is going to be. I mean, so you know, you have to defend what they do. So from a responsibility standpoint, there's a lot of different things that could happen on every play at any position. So, I mean, players got to be able to handle multiple responsibilities. I don't care what position he plays, just by, especially defensively. Offensively, you can control the play. I mean, if you want to throw a screen pass, call a screen pass. But when you're playing defense, you don't know whether it's a screen pass, a run, a drop back pass, a double team block. You don't know what it is. So you've got to be able to play your responsibility on whatever the play is that they run.
Have you been impressed with his willingness to adapt and willingness to move around since he came over?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Kyle's a smart guy, and it seems like he kind of enjoys that, doing something maybe a little bit different this week. He's a good communicator, so he's good at getting other people around him coordinated or in the right spot, or we need to make a call. You know, he'll make the call. He's decisive, and we'll make it with good judgment, but also make it decisively so everybody has confidence in it. We go out there and execute it. So there's... He does a good job of that, and that's one of the maybe advantages to having him in different positions. And he understands, because he's played other spots, he understands what that person needs to know, or maybe what the stress is on a piece of defensive end. He knows what the stress is on an inside linebacker, and vice versa, and so forth, that probably helps him with that process.
I think looking from the outside in, some people might compare the role that he's playing right now to one Rob Ninkovich had or that Mike Vrabel had. Is that one of the more difficult positions on your defense to, I don't know if learn is the right word, but just play?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, and again, everybody doesn't have to be able to do 11 different things. It's good to have guys that can do one thing really well, and that's great. But somewhere along the line, with the variety of offenses that we see in different formations, from big formations to spread formations to sometimes there are no backs in the game, sometimes there are no tight ends in the game, sometimes there could be two or three of either. Again, there's a lot of different variables, and so for somebody to be able to have some versatility to help us handle those multiple situations, that's a lot easier than having to send other guys on and off to the field and try to get them matched up and so forth. You can just move one or two players around to do that. So guys like Kyle and Pat, Chung, Devin, guys that give us linebacker to safety, linebacker to defensive end, those kind of, I would say, comparable spots, depending on what we're facing, there's a lot of value to that. But we don't, like I said, we don't need 11 people that have to be able to do that. You know, we have a guy that can two-gap and control a blocker on the line of scrimmage. That's great. You know, we don't need him to adjust to 0-1 personnel.
What goes into playing the punt protector role that Nate Ebner played on your punt unit?
Yeah, that's one of the toughest spots to play. It doesn't come up every play. I'm not saying it's kind of like playing quarterback, but you play quarterback for, it's called 60 plays a game, 70 plays a game. You know, you only punt 5 to 10 times, let's call it, somewhere in there. But it's a lot of, there's a lot of different variables. You know, you have, if it's 8-on-8, then it's getting the right 8-on-8. Now, if you split your gunners out and a guy comes in from the outside, now they have 9-on-8, and that creates some problems. You know, you also want to try to be able to maximize your coverage. So if, let's say there's only 6 guys rushing and you have 8 blockers, right? 7 plus the personal protector. If you can block those 6 with 6 and then have 2 free guys going to the ball, particularly if it's the 2 guys that are your best coverage players or 2 of your best coverage players, there's some strategy there too. So identifying the rush, identifying the return. Sometimes you can tell what the return is based on the way they align, or if there's a double team on the gunner or not a double team on the gunner. A lot of times the wind plays into that. Sometimes the situation plays into it. Teams that like field returns or boundary returns in certain situations, or middle returns in certain situations, like plus 50, things like that. So there are a lot of variables there that a good personal protector takes all those into consideration, just like a quarterback does. And A, protect the punter. B, he's the last line of defense, so a lot of times, even if your protection is not right on the front, if that guy gets the right guy and does the right thing, you still could possibly save a block punt by just him doing the right thing, even though somebody else has made a mistake in the front of it. So that decision-making is a key part of it there, and the whole cadence and communication between the snapper, the punter, and the gunners, if we directional punt, if we're trying to punt the ball one way or another. Making sure that everybody knows where that is and if it changes, which sometimes it does based on the look that they give you. So there's a lot of different things that go in there. It's not an easy job at all if you want to do it right and get the most out of it. And so we've had a number of guys do that. You know, Pat's done it for us. Jordan's done it for us. Obviously, Nate did a great job of it. Those guys all meet together and work together, and just like the quarterbacks do, they all learn the same thing so that they all understand what the options are, and what's a good option against one team might be a bad option against another team, but it frequently is. So we wouldn't always necessarily do it by the book. It would depend on what the look was and who the people are on the other side of the ball who we're facing. So the plus 50 punting game where they leave their defense on the field and don't put a punt return team out there, that creates a whole other set of problems that you have to deal with on the punt team. The size and the type of player that's rushing is a lot different than a lot of times the player that's on the punt return team. And the rushes they would use would be different. So that creates another element of it too. So it's a lot goes into that position. It's a tough position to play. As I said, I'm not trying to say it's playing quarterbacks. You don't do it 70 times a game, but the times you do it, it could be against a team, you know, like Buffalo that gives you some different looks, Miami that gives you a lot of different looks. It's challenging.
I noticed when I was watching a video that the NFL put out this week that when last week the Patriots scored a touchdown, you remained pretty stoic on the sideline. Is that normally how you react to when your team scores?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy when we score. Really, I'm really happy when we score. But there's a decision to be made on the next play and the next play and the next series. And now the game's changed. Either we've narrowed the gap or widened the gap or whatever it is, and so then there's something that has to be done going forward. That's really a big part of my job. So, I have a lot of fans that come to the game. They cheer. They do a great job. I feel like a big part of my job is decision-making and planning ahead for the next play, the next series, the next situation. And there is sometimes a little bit of time between a score and the kickoff when you go out on defense or how you're going to kick the ball off or so forth, that I feel like I need to do a good job at that. I want to let the team down and the responsibilities that I have.
Bill, when you sign a player like Rex Burkhead who didn't have a ton of offensive snaps in Cincy, even in the preseason, how much of the evaluation is going back to look at what you thought of him in the pre-draft process?
A little bit, but I mean, in Rex's case, he played 4 years. At the end of the year last year, he played, I don't know, 4 or 5 games, whatever it was, 6 games. I mean, I think there was plenty in this league to go on. There was enough for us to go on in this league. I don't think we relied too much on Nebraska, although that was good. That was all good. And the pre-draft process with him and what we knew about him as a person, as a player, as his work ethic and toughness and intelligence and all that. I mean, it was all positive, but we obviously didn't have any interaction with him while he was in Cincinnati. So I think that's kind of what you rely on, or those kind of intangibles, if you will. I think his performance on the field, there was enough of it you could evaluate it. Not as a 16-game starter. I mean, he didn't have that opportunity, but the plays that he played, I mean, like you could evaluate whether he could run routes, catch the ball, whether he had good vision, whether he had good ball security, whether he could make guys miss, whether he had power, so forth. I think you could have. There was enough to evaluate that one, I felt.
Watching Jonathan Jones, whether he's a gunner or a corner, it seems like his ability to compete all the way through the play is something that stands out. Is that something that you noticed in the evaluation process with him?
Absolutely, yeah. Jones plays bigger than his size, what it looks like, and he plays hard. And he does a really good job finishing plays, like you said, whether that's covering kicks, blocking gunners, playing the deep ball, finishing on the ball when the receiver is in the process of catching it, tackling, all those things. He does a really good job. I thought the play he had last week was a really good play where he came free on the blitz and then broke down and made the tackle on Moore and was under control and came to balance and plays like that, that we've all seen guys miss those plays. Is a good example of just a one-on-one open field space tackle that he executed very well. But we've seen him do that on a lot of deep balls this year and in a kicking game over the last 2 years.
Did you have much experience in the slot prior to this season?
Well, all of our corners play a little bit of everywhere. We do that in training camp for situations that could come up during the year. If we do it, it's not the first time. He did some of it last year. He's done more of it this year.
Now, what makes Jerry Hughes one of the better edge defenders?
He's explosive. He's got a good first step. He's got good pad level, good leverage. He gets under or through a lot of blocks, hand blocks, punches. Athletic, runs well. So his spin move, his inside move, he's fast on games when he comes up and under on a with the tackle, with twist game with the tackle. He's got an explosive burst off that. I'd say the main thing is to get off his ability to get the edge and force the tackle to stretch out there to get him, which is hard. And then when they do that, then he's got the quickness and the agility to either come up and under or turn that speed into a power rush and collapse the tackle back into the quarterback.
Bill, for many years, you have these pre-production meetings with Jim Nance and Phil Simms because they did so many of your games. It's been different this year, so I was just curious on two levels. One, how much do you miss the connection with Phil, given your past with him? And what has it been like this year, just sort of with Tony, and I don't know what your background is with him, but just how those meetings have been, just getting to know him?
Well, I think Phil did a great job. And always enjoyed Phil, and I enjoyed, even though I never really coached Phil, Phil was a quarterback and I was a defensive coordinator. We talked a lot. We had a real good relationship with the Giants. We talked a lot about coverages and schemes and what do you see and how can I help you, how can you help me, type of thing. Phil's great that way. And then he's very knowledgeable Phil's a very knowledgeable player that, even things like the kicking game, which as a quarterback you're not really a part of, you know, Phil was always interested in. I actually involved him in it in different things, facets of that when I was with the Giants. Even though Phil throws the ball right-handed, everything else he does in his life is left-handed, including punt. And so when we had the great right-footed punters at the Giants, Dave Jennings and Sean Landetta, when we went up against a left-footed punter, Phil was my go-to guy there. And so things like that, that he was always very accommodating and helpful, but he always had an interest in it too. And so I thought he, honestly, I didn't hear a lot of the games that he did for us, but I heard other games that he did. I always thought he gave a lot of great insight into the game, and not just from a quarterback's perspective, but from a team standpoint. So, yeah, I do miss seeing him. Multiple times during the season when he would have our games. Tony's, I'd say, is a similar, very inquisitive guy with a good history of the games. He asked a lot of questions about when I was with the Giants or the 70s or the 80s or Tom Landry or so forth. And he's pretty knowledgeable for a player that wasn't in that era, that he knows a lot about it and has obviously read and studied it. He sees a lot of things, a lot of fine points of a defensive scheme or a play that say a lot of guys that I talk to don't, and ask about those and what was this guy reading on this and why did this guy do that and was this guy's job on this play to do something that, you know, is kind of subtle. He picks up on those things and I'd say ask a lot of very detailed coaching technical type questions that you don't get from a lot of those meetings. So, but he's good. I've enjoyed working with him.
When it was Jim Nance and Phil Simms, did it get to a point where it was like, oh, you guys again, you know, like, oh, this is the 10th time, you know, like, and it almost became like, felt like a you know, routine almost, and was your comfort
almost
at all?
Like doing a radio show with Zolak, the weekly radio show. Well, yeah, I'd say when we had those meetings, sometimes when you do, say, like a Fox crew who only does our one game a year, how are you using your tight ends? How's this guy rotating in? What's this guy's role? Where does he play? It wasn't like that with those guys. They saw enough games that they knew kind of what everybody's role was, what well, this guy played because somebody else was hurt, this guy played because you used a different package that week, and so forth. So they that part of it was pretty, I'd say they were very on top of, probably as much as any TV crew we've had. It would be more specific to, all right, what are you going to do this week? How are you going to handle this? How are you going to handle that? What do you think of this part of their game, or how are you going to attack that part? Or so it was much more specific. Not that I don't get those from other crews, but I would say there was a lot. There wasn't the who's your backup slot receiver? They know who that was.
Bill, we had conference calls with Sean McDermott and Kyle Williams this week, and both guys talked about how they're trying to establish a culture in Buffalo, obviously under a new coach. And you know, I'm not asking you to comment on their situation, but it made me curious what the biggest challenge was for you when you arrived and wanted to try to establish a culture here.
Not to say in all honesty, Phil, it's probably a question for another day. It's a good question. And I followed, two great coaches in here, with Bill and Pete. And so a lot of things that were established or in place in one way or another were, two great coaches, one of which I was a part of. So I had a lot of familiarity with what, we did in 96. There's a lot of things involved. I mean, in the end, it comes down to winning. Once you establish that you can win, then that changes your program from not being a winning program to being a winning program, and that's all the difference in the world. So it's a great question. It's probably for another day and longer story. Right now, kind of trying to get ready to go this week against Buffalo. We're going to need to play well up there, and it's going to be a big challenge for us, so just kind of put our attention there. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, Bill.